Welcome back to the Great Debates Season 2 regular episode.
Nice. Just yeah. A regular episode.
It's not a spectacular, it's not an extended, it's a regular episode, and that's why I'm going to get right into it with a micro.
Great.
Steve, you're going to take the pro.
Top me up.
3 minutes on the clock. This is a listener top from listener Carlos. There is no such thing as wasting time.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. It's one of those days. You wake up, you're sluggish, you're a little hungover, you put on the TV, you watch a third of Crimson Tide, you eat some junk out of your fridge. Is that wasting time? No. You're tired. Your body needs to recharge. You need to refresh yourself. The human mind, body, and spirit needs to recharge sometimes. What we think of as wasting time comes from this Protestant puritanical idea where if you're not doing something that makes money or profit, there's waste. But that's not how life works. The human body has cycles. Anything you think of as wasting time is probably teaching you something or allowing you to restore yourself in some way. Now, it may be frustrating to wait in line at the mall to return something. That can feel like a waste of time, but hey, you needed to return that thing. Circumstances didn't line up the way you needed to. Maybe you took that time to think about something interesting, or maybe there was a lesson in that experience that you needed to learn. I don't think there's such a thing as wasting time.
You know, it's interesting, Healy, you're taking sort of a philosophical bent on this. It's sort of a topic that lends itself naturally to that. And I'll go a little further down that road. I actually tend to agree with you that, like, we underestimate the value of inactivity, if you will, or leisure, or rest. But I believe that it is possible to waste time in if you are not purposeful with the time that you are taking to rest and to recover. So the things that you're saying here where it's like, I'll go along with you on this little thought experiment. It's a day where you simply need to recharge. We've all had them. We have even a busy day where you still need to recharge for a little bit. Well, you're wasting time if you are, let's say, you go away from doing actual work, but you are still distracted by the work, but you're not actually doing it. And you're wasting time if you are watching, what was the movie you chose?
Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide is on and you watch a third of Crimson Tide. Well, you're wasting that time if all you're doing is sitting there belly aching about what kind of food should you eat and you don't come to an actual decision. Now, if you sit down and say, you know what? I am just going to watch a third of Crimson Tide, and I'm going to do nothing other than that, and I owe that to myself, then that's not wasting time. But it's certainly possible to waste time if you are not purposeful with your time, with your recreation, with your relaxation.
I think you're getting somewhere interesting.
Thank you.
And there's something really valuable in what you just said. However, you are wrong. It is not, like, sometimes you just don't have the energy to be purposeful. And the time spent unpurposefully is time spent recharging yourself.
And
as to your point about being distracted by work, I would say when you're sort of like slightly agitated by a work problem, but you're trying to relax and you're not totally focused on the relaxing or the work, I often find that's a very generative time when ideas will come to you. You're actually working through a problem in your mind.
Oh. I feel like I didn't get to say a lot, but that was interesting.
We certainly didn't waste any time getting back into it.
Yeah. No. It felt natural, I gotta say.
Yeah.
That was
a great exchange.
It's like riding a bike.
A great debate.
Yeah.
I don't know who I want to go with. Is that crazy? I feel like the first debate back, I can't make a call. But you guys, I don't mean to be all posy and shit, but you both made some great points.
I mean, that was the closest Dave's ever come to like conceding the debate afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just impartially think that I did prevail.
You feel like you won?
Yeah.
You always think you win.
Well, I'm an optimist. Yeah,
we
and I think
the,
I'm a strong
argument. Do you feel
arguer.
Like you won?
Not necessarily, but I feel like what happens
interesting.
Is when we get to the end of the debate, every time,
yeah.
My feeling is like, I hope I won. I hope Medina says I won. And your feeling is, I won, and Medina better say I won.
Well, I think the debate's not over when the debate's over. There's follow through, and the crucial post-debate presentation kind of matters.
Interesting.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like when you frame a pitch.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Or like you got to sell a dunk in the dunk right. contest.
Exactly.
I'm not going to waste any more time right now because I'm going to let us do another micro debate. I know that everybody's hungry for debate.
Yep.
Brandon A submitted this top. Healy taking the pro. 3 minutes on the clock. 12 miles is a long way.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Try running 12 miles. Try walking 12 miles. It will take you a long time and you will arrive tired. It's a significant journey, 12 miles. Now, most trips these days are made in a car or in some kind of motorized vehicle. Still could be 15 minutes with traffic, could be a long time. 12 miles is a humans are not good at processing distances beyond the hour's walk, and 12 miles is beyond that. 12 miles is a long ways.
I mean, if you're on a trip and someone asks you how far away are we, you go 12 miles, you go, oh, great, we're going to be there soon. It's not a long ways. 12 miles is, I would venture to guess.
If you're in a marathon and somebody says, how far away are we? 12 miles.
Well, a marathon is one of the most unusual endeavors that a human takes. Like, the fact that, like, if you run a marathon, you tell everyone you know about it and everyone congratulates
you. Okay, what's a usual endeavor? Going to the store. If the store is 12 miles away, you'd be like, that's a long way away.
What I was about to say is that I would venture to guess that 12 miles is longer than the average person's commute. It's certainly longer than my average commute. And or it's certainly like in the ballpark. Like if you have a 12-mile commute to work, I think you're generally like fine. Like most people, it takes about 25 minutes to get to work. You go traveling 30 miles an hour, it's probably about 12 miles. 12 miles just isn't that far. Like, you know, you've been to every area that's 12 miles away from where you live, I would guess, because it's simply, again, it's not that far. It's a 10-minute drive or an 8-minute drive or a 20-minute drive. But none of those distances are that long. If you're speaking in miles, chances are you are talking about driving or flying. You're not talking about walking. People, as you said, like, they don't walk that far anymore. So, like, I think it's fair to say that if 12 miles is thrown out there as a distance, the large majority of the time you're talking about a driving distance or a flying distance or some sort of transportational distance. And so it's just simply not that far at all.
A bar,
it's not that far a ways.
A bar, a restaurant, a hospital, a grocery store that's 12 miles from your house is far away.
I went to a restaurant last night that's 12 miles from my house.
It was a journey. You had to plan, schedule, allot time, go there. It was a long way for you. Now, just because humans are used to traveling a long way every day doesn't mean it's not a long way. It's very far to go 12 miles. You are far from your home. You are a long ways away.
You're trying to make it sound like when I drove to dinner last night, I had to like pack a snack and like chart my route. All I did was like check to see what the traffic was and then leave 25 minutes before dinner was scheduled to start. Like, it wasn't like I packed up the Conestoga wagon and said like, yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, and you know it, Healy, you know it.
It's not that far. Even in the old days, it was like, okay, we're going to walk 12 miles. Yeah, we can do it in less than half a day and be there by lunchtime.
Yeah, we'll be there by lunchtime, Healy. What? Did you just... What just happened?
I almost had an emotional outburst.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought you almost threw up a little bit. That's what it sounded like.
What he said earlier is true.
That was wild.
So
what was that?
I suppressed some emotion.
Well, why don't you tell us?
Never mind. No, you know.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
We got to hear it.
There's nothing. Sometimes I feel like you guys are ganging up on me. It's my least favorite feeling in the world.
Oh, man.
Buddy, can I say something?
Yeah.
I love you so much.
Same.
This is the best, most fun I have all week. And there's nothing that could ever get in the way of the fraternity I feel between the three of us. And I hope you never have to feel that again.
In high school, too. I was on the cross. Thank you, guys. In high school, I was on the cross country team. And I remember running 12 miles. And that was
a long way. Sounds
awful. It's a long way to run.
It's a long way.
It's a long way to run for sure.
Yeah.
That's awful. No, I was definitely getting a fake medical note anytime I had to run more than a half a mile in gym.
Really?
Yeah, you know, even like my mom, I feel like, was in on it, where she was like, yeah, you're not running a mile. Who are we kidding?
What's the longest you've ever walked?
Walked?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I try to go for 2 walks every day, actually. Oh, but
so pleasant.
It's a nice neighborhood for walking.
Have you ever walked like 10 miles?
I don't know.
15 miles.
Probably not that far, but I don't know.
I walked 15 miles.
That's a long ways.
It was long. To be fair, it was long.
Is a long way.
It was a long way. Okay, maybe Healy won.
How much time do we have for host chat? Is this host chat?
We have some time.
Yeah.
We have a few minutes.
What do you got?
Well, look, here's what happened.
Okay, great.
I'm just looking for someone to...
love.
I don't know how to put this out there, but... Yeah. And this is going to offend some of our listeners.
Oh, maybe. Yes. Mm.
Some of our friends, even.
Love.
Mm. Here's the bottom line.
Yep.
I don't get Disneyland.
Okay.
Ooh. I went to Disneyland recently. Esther and I had an occasion to go. We were very lucky. We had a sort of like, we didn't have to wait online at all for any of the rides. Mm-hmm. We got free access to California Adventure, whatever it's called, and Disneyland. We had a dedicated like Disney employee who got us access to anything we wanted.
And you didn't have a good time.
I had a great time.
Oh, okay. Mm.
We had so much fun. Esther's mom was there. It was super fun. Like, it's impossible not to have fun. But what I don't get are the rides. They're so lame. I don't understand it at all. Like, I went on that Star Tours ride.
Yeah, that's one of the worst rides.
That's a bad ride.
Yeah.
Well, what are the good rides?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Big Thunder Mountain. No way, dude.
Indiana Jones.
Soaring over California. Wait,
okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Splash Mountain, even. I like.
Mr. Toad.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk through these.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I went on Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yes.
Yeah. What the hell is that? It's just like 50-year-old animatronics. It ends with like your boat stops and there's like people shooting at each other. There's guns everywhere.
You're going through a cannonade. There's a market. There's debauchery, mayhem. It smells interesting. You're in a boat, which is always fun. The artistry is incredible.
It is?
Yeah.
It really is so lame
to me. I don't understand what's incredible about that.
I like the take that the worst thing about Disneyland is the rides. I actually really like the sort of theminess experience of Disneyland.
Well, that just kind of makes me queasy.
I like the cleanliness and the manicured...
The tightness of the system, the operation.
What tightness? What system?
Just the beginning of the... Pirates of the Caribbean, where you know the banjo guy is there, and you're going through like sort of a bayou. Isn't that so magical to you?
Magical,
the lighting
cool.
is so
you're
well
transported.
Done. It
doesn't look like he's playing the banjo. It's really kind of too dark to see anything.
I think you have to put yourself back in time. A and B, you kind of have to remember the first time you went on the ride, or imagine it through the eyes of a child.
So I'm a little broken inside or something. Mm. I don't know. I feel bad.
Have a kid.
That's probably the best way to enjoy Disneyland.
I think so.
Okay, sorry.
I want to get us into a main.
Yes.
The first main of season two.
Great.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a doozy.
Main me up.
It's a real doozy. I would have Dave take the pro.
Oh, so challenging for him.
Yeah.
Great. Dave, out of his element with the opening statement.
Yeah, baby.
Here's your topic, Dave. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I don't know what the... I can't remember, or I don't know what the topic is.
Your topic is Hollywood is gross.
Ugh, Hollywood is gross. The physical space of Hollywood is disgusting. It's all cement. It's gross. It's one of the least appealing aesthetically parts of Los Angeles, or really, for that matter, any city. It's distinguished by like a lot of like... spaces that are neither retail nor residential, or if they are retail, they're not like exciting or popular. The public transit doesn't work well in Hollywood. It's a lot of gray, concrete, ugly, meaningless space. And it's in this very center of the city of Los Angeles. And if you just drive down like whatever, DeLongpre or whatever, like it's just garbage. It's ugly. Every time I've noticed it, every time I drive by, like my parents are visiting recently and we're driving around like to go to dinner or something, and it's, you're like driving through like just kind of a nondescript part of town that's yucky, and my dad will go like, what part of town is this? I'm like, it's like, I guess this is Hollywood, like sadly, and it is. Then there's obviously the larger Hollywood as we, not as a physical space, but as the place that it occupies in our mind. And Hollywood is gross. Hollywood is about making dreams for come true for a very small number of people, and those people find out that the dreams that they had, that even when they do come true, their lives are not meaningful, and for the rest of people, they never get to live those dreams. That's for the people who work in Hollywood. The things that Hollywood sells to the rest of the country and the rest of the world are equally gross. We're selling largely consumerism. We're selling the importance of appearances, and we're selling people through TV, film, video games, and the other industries that take place here in Hollywood, or which would also include pornography. We're selling people on superficiality and immorality.
This is so of a piece with a guy who like doesn't get Disneyland. It's just there's a chip loose or something. Now, you make some points which are true. I mean, there are areas of Hollywood which are not especially majestic. I'd argue they're no worse than any other part of any city in the world has some kind of grody neighborhoods. Also within the physical boundary of Hollywood is the Hollywood Hills, Runyon Canyon, some very majestic landscape, physical places. Yeah, there's some cruddy neighborhoods, but there's some beautiful neighborhoods too. The weather's magnificent. The physical setting of Hollywood in this Los Angeles Valley is really beautiful and special. There's a reason why filmmakers came here. The weather is consistently great. The interiors of the spaces in Hollywood, there's awesome places inside. Yeah, there's some cruddy neighborhoods that don't look that good as you're driving really fast by with your parents, but then you get inside to Musso and Frank's or on the Paramount lot. There's some really cool, Musso awesome things to see. Now,
that's the best you could do, Musso and Frank's, an old steakhouse? They've got one, like, that's special?
Dave,
and
please respect the opening statement. This is not great arguments. This is great debates, okay? Dave, are you going to respect?
Well, respect.
Okay. Now, so that speaks to the physical quality of Hollywood. I'm not going to say it's the new Venice, but frankly, Venice has some nasty places. And, you know, it's I'm talking about Venice, Italy, as a beautiful city by comparison. But I think Hollywood has enough beauty in its physical spaces, in its interiors, to compete with anywhere in the world. But the sort of emotional state of Hollywood, Hollywood as symbol, Hollywood as the entertainment industry, I think Dave is way off. And looking only at the dark 20% rather than the larger fact, which is Hollywood is where you come to make a living from creative expression. What could be more beautiful and cool than that? And the products, by and large, are pretty awesome. Every year, there's a fantastic movie and a fantastic TV show. There's a lot of junk, too. That's how creative processes work. A lot of bad stuff comes out. But mostly, Hollywood has captured the world's attention, held it mesmerized since, you know, for 80 years or so. As for the idea of broken dreams and stuff, I think that's kind of an interesting cliche that people throw around, but I think when you walk through Hollywood, you don't actually meet that many people whose dreams are broken. It's not uncommon to meet somebody who's like, yeah, you know, I tried to make it as an actor, but then I got into wine and now I own a little wine shop. Like, people find ways to express themselves even if their initial dream doesn't work out. The cool thing about Hollywood is adaptability, flexibility. I think most people you meet in Hollywood have found a way to work within the system, express themselves in some way. I just don't think you walk through Hollywood, the idea, the creative industry, and meet a lot of people who are busted up and brokenhearted because things didn't work out for them. That's just not what happens.
Well, I'm glad you corrected to a figurative walkthrough of Hollywood, because no one in their right mind would actually walk through Hollywood, because it's like,
I disagree, anyone, man. I had to drive right through Hollywood and Highland to get here today. Hundreds of people on the street. Now,
those are,
I don't like it.
Walking,
they're having
walking
a good time.
To Ripley's, believe it or not,
yeah,
museum.
They enjoy that. It's not for you or me. Okay. We've seen it before. I'm not into it. But
if
why
I saw you walking down Santa Monica at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, I'd be like, "What the fuck happened here? Healy, this guy is not okay. Like,
I've
what's
walked
going
Santa
on?
Monica all the time.
What's wrong with you?
Santa Monica's a nice wide street. It's part of the original Route 66. There's a lot of cool businesses there. There's interesting Russian. There's all kinds of weird stuff on Santa Monica. It's a great street. I'd put Santa Monica up against any street in any town in the USA.
What?
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not. Santa Monica is cool.
That strip of Santa Monica between, that's like, I would say centered by the Hollywood Forever Cemetery that spans from like let's say, I mean, what you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. That goes a mile east or west of that area.
Okay.
Is nothing but, like, auto shops and, like, it's
you're
going to
walk
gross.
By Paramount
it's
Studios. Where you no, drive you're into not. Godfather. You're going to go by Providence. You're going to go by beautiful, I guess that's on Melrose. But you're going to go through a lot of cool, interesting and stuff. You're just limiting to 1 mile if you keep going into West Hollywood. Are we including West Hollywood?
No, it's as you well know, West Hollywood is a different incorporation than the rest of the city of Los Angeles.
Okay,
I
cool.
believe, right?
That's fine. Yeah, we can leave West Hollywood out.
Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. Okay. West Hollywood is a separate city.
Right.
Yeah. But Hollywood itself isn't a... I don't think it's a delineated space. I think it's a term thrown about to talk about an area that's roughly...
As I said in my opening statement, I think it's both. I think it is a physical space, of boundaries of which we haven't exactly
You don't even
determined.
Know the boundaries of the thing you're attacking.
Well, I don't think anyone does, but as you said, it's certainly like... doesn't go as far south as LACMA, and it doesn't go as far north as the Valley. And so, like, that's a good south-north, roughly speaking.
Okay, so it includes some beautiful hills and canyons, as well as a very busy, popular, attractive shopping district.
What are...
warehouses, and like any city in the world, it has some warehouses and some areas that aren't...
That isn't like any city in the world.
Compelling, but still, even on those streets that just have, like, studios and stuff, there's cool palm trees, all kinds of interesting plants grow here in California. You'll see eucalyptus tree, you'll see a jacaranda. It's beautiful. It's a lush part of the world. Yeah, okay, you don't like driving by a studio warehouse that's kind of dull architecturally, but actually, I'd argue even that is kind of cool.
You're painting a picture of Hollywood that is so, like, misinformative to people who have no idea of what Hollywood looks like. They're not, I guarantee you that no one comes to Hollywood looking for, like, to take pictures of the jacaranda trees. That's not why people come here. They're like, if you want beautiful what do you call it, foliage or beautiful trees, you're not coming to Hollywood. You might go to the LA Arboretum, or you might go somewhere in the greater LA area, but you're not going to go drop me at the corner of Ivar and Franklin. I got to look at the trees.
This is a strongly stated but totally irrelevant point. We're talking about whether a place is beautiful. I'm saying it has beautiful foliage everywhere. So that's part of what's beautiful about it. Whether people go to see it is not really relevant.
I just feel like you're misrepresenting how many trees there actually are in Hollywood.
There's
tons
of trees.
It's not fair.
Look, I walk a lot around Hollywood. I walk to work all the time. I've been all over Hollywood. There's some boring parts. It's not as pedestrian intensive as like certain areas of New York, but there's a lot of beauty to be found all over the place in Hollywood. And yeah, there's boring old bank branches and Carl's Jr.'s and whatever. But I'm debating with a guy who just said he doesn't get it with Disneyland. Like, I have a feeling if I took to Paris Disneyland. And be like,
I specifically said the I think Paris is fantastic. I go there about as often as I can. It's like a city that like has whatever. We're not talking about Paris. This is ridiculous.
There's whole sections of Paris that are boring and stupid and uninteresting.
Like what? Quel arrondissement.
The whole like La Défense. La Défense is all boring and skyscrapers and junk. That's a lot of Paris. Now, Paris isn't just the Eiffel Tower and the Left Bank.
People aren't thinking of, when people think about Paris, they're not thinking about La Défense. They're not thinking that far west of Paris.
Okay, when people think about Hollywood,
that's ridiculous.
They're thinking about Paramount Studios, Ripley's Believe It or Not, the Hollywood Hills,
so
the Hollywood sign.
Wait a second. You think Ripley's is a pro for Hollywood?
I don't like it. I don't want to go there, but I see hundreds of tourists excited to walk in the door.
I want to revisit what you gave us an example of, one of the beautiful interior spaces of Hollywood, which is Musso Franks.
Okay,
great. For example, in the movie Greenberg, a particularly depressing birthday.
A guy who loves Greenberg is exactly the guy who goes to Hollywood and is like, this sucks, it's gross. That's a guy who is the first movie he thinks of is Greenberg.
What I'm saying has nothing to do with what I think the quality of the movie
Greenberg
is.
Okay, keep going.
There is a particularly depressing birthday, which happens at a steakhouse. And the interior of Musso and Franks was chosen specifically to reflect the tone of that scene, which is sad.
I don't remember the movie or the scene, but I think what I'm remembering about Greenberg is it's a movie about a guy who's failing to enjoy the fruits that life is constantly offering him.
And his friends try to cheer him up, and so they take him out to dinner for his birthday at Musso and Frank's.
Yeah, and he's too stupid and idiotic to get it.
Well, okay, but what
similar
I'm saying
to you,
is
he's
like,
being offered wonders, and all he can see is the gum on the floor.
For a sad scene, chose Musso and Frank's.
The movie—it's only a sad scene because it's sad that Greenberg doesn't get how great of a place he is.
No, part of the reason it's sad is because the aesthetics of Musso and Frank's are sad. They are not. They are gross. They're not pleasant. It's like they're like it's like old crusty seats and that kind of thing. And you gave it as an example.
I love Musso and Frank's.
Musso and Frank's.
Okay, so what's the problem? There's murals on the wall. You're sitting at a bar where William Faulkner got drunk. That's cool.
Healy, I'm gonna close my. I'm gonna close off here.
Woo! Oh, man.
We're back.
We're back.
I'm going with Healy, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and I didn't know that I was until I thought you had me with the whole. It actually is horrible at between on Santa Monica between like Western and the 101 and the
gross.
That being said, the Greenberg thing really dug you a hole there.
Why? Guys going to Greenberg?
No, going to Musso and Frank's.
Well, why didn't you just let me have Musso and Frank's? Why did you choose that as your place to stick your ground? A place you
really
admit that you love.
Took that ball and ran with it back to the other end
zone. My God, that was a pick six for sure.
Sorry, Dave. Oh, man. It's fine. I like it.
Oh, guys, this was so fun.
It was invigorating.
I really enjoy being back in the studios.
Got the blood moving, that's for sure.
Oh, everybody,
I think debate is good for us.
It's very good for us. Yeah. It's good for our hearts. It's good for our heads. It's good for our...
It's good for the soul.
Oh, three great listener tops. Thank you for these wonderful tops. Keep writing to us. We're Great Debate 69 everywhere, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you for your patience. We're back with season two. See you next week on the Great Debate.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Levine.